Blog Talk Radio.
$17 all to my name. I had to spend two, went and got me a drink at the Sofo Mofo, a box of squares. I seen a fine bitch, I had to stop and stare. It was hot and she was walking in the scorching sun. I said, get in, pretty girl, I don't want you to bun. She said she lived cross town and needed a ride. I would've took her, but this gas is too high. $1 left. Might as well give it to somebody else. I can help. Tried to hand it to a brother and say, man, I want to give you more than this, brother. But the almighty dollar, it ain't what it used to be. Hobos used to ask you for $1, now the motherfuckers ask you for $3. The almighty dollar, well, that's what they used to say. $1 used to be a whole lot, but it's hardly worth shit today. Shit, give me my $1 back, nigga. I'm in the tray, I might as well go by TSU. See what these fine girls do around here. Go by French's and smell me some chicken or something. Damn, what all these helicopters and shit doing around this motherfucker? Continue my journey with the AC off. Smoke rushing out the window every time I cough. Swing to the right and let the police pass. A nigga trying to get away, them laws on his ass. But I'm glad it ain't me, oh no, not now. I'm trying to rise, trying to climb, don't want to fall back down. So I put the sweet eye and wait until I arrive. Treat it like an hour later, cause I'm already high. I have no need for fronting. Ain't even trying to be funny. Nigga got to have money.
$15.
Hey, you bullshit, man.
No, $15. You got two Budweiser,
One guy in the gas, one Cigarillo, and this one Budweiser. Damn, fuck it.
To these leaders, how can you tell black people to be nonviolently and at the same time condone the sending of white killers into the black communities? It's something wrong. We are going to control our communities by any means necessary. We built the country up, we'll burn it down. You can quote that. I say violence is necessary. Violence is a part of America's culture. It is as American as cherry pie.
I want to talk about, you know, that ideology at this point. And it has to be an ideology of revolutionary nationalism. See, this country fosters the idea of competitive individualism. In other words, you know, like he divides people. He divides. He tells you, be an individual, do your own thing. You cannot do your own thing if your own thing is not the right thing. You cannot do your own thing. You have to understand, one of the most counter-revolutionary things that came out last year was the whole slogan of do your own thing. This is what black people have been doing for years. Now, if your own thing does not happen to be the thing that's right for the struggle, then it's incorrect. You can't do your own thing. See, people run around here talking about, I'm going to do my own. Here, the junkie is standing on the corner nod and say, I let you do your thing, let me do my thing.
Unapologetically black on a Thursday night. Welcome to the ride, Outlaw Radio 2.0, as I like to refer to it. Almighty Dollar, the need for black economic empowerment. Welcome to the show. I am the world-class smartass, the Negro Whisperer himself. And I got my revolutionary rider partner in here with me tonight. We're going to do this thing, man. We got a hot topic. We got some deep conversation. We have enough grown man to go around. So if you're immature, take a seat, cop a squat, and take the red pill, like Bill Cosby would say. Mm-hmm. T-Brad, what's in your trick bag, man?
Man, I was going to start it with something positive. You threw the red pill and Bill Cosby. I said I lost my space, man. Bill ain't giving nobody no medication, man. I don't want to hear that no more.
Allegedly.
He ain't.
Right
That's
away.
A good, solid brother.
Right away.
I know y'all better pull y'all pants up.
What's popping, man? What's popping?
Man, I'm just happy to be here, man. It's a lovely Thursday night in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
We still alive.
Yeah, well, we got a couple days left, you know.
Show 178.
Hey, April 5th will be here in a minute.
Shout out to Bear Meat. Had to take care of some personal business tonight. But in his absence, you can take his place if you call in. 347-324-5414 is the number you can call. Chat room is fully active. Let's do this. Got to talk about the money. And I want to approach this topic tonight from a different perspective, not to really celebrate the lust for money. And see, you know, there's being a hustler and you really like, it's about this bread. And then somehow along the way you become anti-people. I'm talking about black economic empowerment. I'm not talking about independent rap labels.
Okay.
No, I'm not talking about.
See, that's the mindset I was on.
Right, I
was thinking we was gonna start us and
we big picture politics, man. We can't see the forest for the trees.
Well, you know, some of us.
Right. Well, you know, a great man once said, "Black people know the price of everything, but don't know the value of shit."
That's because the things we put price tags on have no value.
Well, you know,
What price tags
are we popping? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, why we should or should not pop those tags, and why we shouldn't just always be the purchaser. You know what I mean? Like, Claude Anderson had a great quote, Dr. Claude Anderson. He said, you know, there's no such thing as consumer power. As a consumer, as a customer, you have no power. He said that's like a crackhead saying because he buys the crack, he got crack power.
I mean, he actually does, though.
I mean, you know, it's all about customer service, right? Shout out to Dr. Claude Anderson, man. I do want to shout out the sponsors, man, get this thing rolling. Almighty Dollar, man, there is a definite need. Listen, we can stop talking about a lot of other things until we talk about the money. Can I put it like that? I hate to come off like Reverend Ike.
Yes, one point, though.
We appreciate the contributions that jingle, but we love the ones that fold. Thank you kindly. So this has to be about our money. It has to be about this $1.2 trillion buying power that black people in America have.
Seriously?
$1.2 trillion that we spend.
That's annually?
Yes, and less than 1% of it is recycled within the black community. This is an impropriety that we must address. Right. So we're going to get into that, man. Tease the topic a little bit. You got to get the revolution wet. She nasty. She eventually give it up to everybody.
It don't take her long.
Trust and believe. Look here, man. I want to shout out to my sponsors, Mr. Terry. down at 3041 North, 3041 North Urban Country Club, 3041 West North Avenue. Yes, sir, 414-810-3131. Got it popping right now. Got some comedy nights coming up, a whole bunch of events. You really got to go. You can hit them on Facebook at 3041 North. You can go to 3041.com. It's a million ways to get in touch with him. Holler at Miss Helen. Get on that calendar. Flexible Entertainment Complex, Urban Country Club. Can't wait till the summertime. We can get back out on that patio and do some more live shows, man. Beautiful, beautiful experience. We always at 3041, as always.
It was always lavish. It was always fly.
I'm just imagining what the ambiance is going to be like this summer,
man.
Did he
say ambiance?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, with the bridge being up and traffic flowing.
Ambiance.
No, I'm not.
I was trying to French it.
Oh,
I was trying to
Frenchalize
it.
Okay, okay.
My bad.
I'll go there.
Play with words. Play with words. Right. Doof I Do Print, man, the homie Joe. With the custom print jobs. Practical Planning by Nicole. Universal Wellness Center in the Twin Cities. Mandela Barnes, one of our state representatives, probably our best state representative. The best thing going if you black and you really look at politics. Mandela, the only truth we got in this state. Stop hating. I know he beat y'all boy. I know y'all liked y'all guy, but it's the reason why Mandela bumped him and is the incumbent. We'll be back on the show. Shout out to Mandela, man. He fights a good fight. 347-324-5414 is the number you can call. Chat room is on deck. Almighty Dollar, the need for black economic empowerment. That's a mouthful to say.
Yeah,
too,
it
right?
is, but it's a real heavy topic as well, because if we're going to start moving in the direction in which we need to go, finance is going to definitely be instrumental.
But see, it's finance on levels other than what people actually probably thought. Like, it's not really about cars and jewelry.
No, I'm talking about adding future wealth.
Making assets.
Sure the youngest,
solid assets.
Yeah, the youngest going to be all right. Then
right.
make sure they youngest is all right.
So that legacy building should be one of our priorities. And as we speak right now, it's not. It's not at the forefront of what black men discuss.
I'll agree to that.
So, you know, we're going to talk about that tonight, man. We got a lot of stuff going on, man. In this city, we're in the middle of a mayoral election. We're trying to elect aldermen. We're electing county supervisors. The presidential election is like too big to fail. Like, it is what it is.
No, it's failing right now.
The country will speak, though. But on grassroots politics, on a local level, look, right now we have a very difficult choice to make. As usual, it's a double bind for black people. It's the lesser of two evils. Barrett is one of the worst mayors in the history of mayorism. I did make that word up. Yes, I did. And Donovan, I mean, he's a peeping Tom. Come on. I'm not going to vote for him. So, you know.
So what do you do with your vote?
You know what? This is the first time, and I will admit this because, you know, I can keep this between you and my people. You know, we can all keep this on the low. This is the first time I ever thought about not voting. Really. I've seriously said. And I have voted religiously since the year 2000. When I came home from college and I said, you know what, I'm going to always vote. I voted in every election, even in the city, aldermanic, mayoral, governor, I've always voted. This is the first year, you know, that I'm.
Well, I also have to say, I wasn't always able to vote. You know, I made some mistakes in my day. But what I realized
what
and understood
was
that I got my rights back.
Right.
Well, I made use of them.
Yeah, as soon as I got off paper, I voted for Norquist.
Man, that was like 81.
Right.
Brother, let's spend some time out here in these streets.
But no, it's extremely important that we inform ourselves with the gypsiness, as E-40 would say, because right now my people are suffering because of ignorance. It's not like in the black community there's, well, there is ineptitude, but there is a black brain trust. Right. There's a black brain trust. Like, there's actually some black progressives who are ready, willing, and able to really invest in what
in
progressiveness.
There's some things going on around here, man, and there's some people making noise, but what I need for them to do is congregate. That's all I want.
Wow.
I'm getting tired of the division and splitting up. Us, there lies the problem.
Politics of revolution, right? We did a show on that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
347-324-5414 is the number you can call. Chat room on deck. Holler at your boy. Almighty Dollar, man, the need for black economic empowerment. Such a deep topic because, you know, and like that's why I started the song by the show with the song by Devin is because I know y'all thought I was going to play the OJs, first of all. No. I'm a Gen Xer, right? So I might, you know. My OJs is Devin the Dude. So, but on that song, what he's talking about is the depreciation of what used to mean something. A dollar doesn't mean as much as it used to, so you got to have a whole bunch of them to make anything move. And we haven't adjusted. And I'm gonna give you some statistics throughout the show that will reinforce what I'm talking about. But just to start it off, let's look at it like this. I said we had $1.2 trillion in spending power, but we are by far the poorest race in this country, poorest cultural group. Dr. Claude Anderson has taught me that you need to use the word racism differently now. And I'm going to talk about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about that, too. The word racism doesn't mean what it used to mean to me now, you know, and thank God for enlightenment. So 347-324-5414 is the number you can call. We're talking about discrimination, man, and social injustice. That's not economic. I mean, that actually is economic. I'm sorry. That actually is economic, but
my head said,
racism it has nothing to do with social injustice. Racism is just merely a quest to obtain all of the prizes. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
sir.
It's a race. It's me against you. And when you say ism, that means it's between people. So when you say, oh, he's racist, but there's nothing wrong with being racist. We just did a show, Good Black Racism. And I know black people are like, what the hell? The mayor's lost his mind. But what I'm telling you is this. If you're a black person, you're supposed to cheerlead first and foremost for your people. If you don't, you're a coon or Uncle Tom. Like Big Rube say on, he say, either you a cracker or a nigga that think he a cracker. Right?
Right,
so
on to the real endeavor.
If you don't, if you're not, if your first interest and first love and first adulation is not for your own people, something's wrong with you. So when I see a white person, I don't expect them to give me anything because they're in the lead. They're in a winning position. This is a race. You got to run faster than him if you want to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say. I jumbled it a little bit out the gate, but as usual, I land on my feet. So I'm just saying we have to process this differently, and we have to really examine what is the main reason we are so down. We did a show where we passed that question around, and I don't think anybody gave a definitive answer, including myself, but tonight there's a definitive answer. The reason why we're in this position is because we're the poorest cultural group in this country. Nobody's poor. Nobody's broke like us. So if you say, well, then if y'all so broke, how do y'all have $1.2 trillion in spending power?
No. That answers itself. We're broke because we spend $1.2 trillion.
We're the world's greatest customers, right? We're not the world's greatest proprietors.
So time keep on slipping.
Right. So, you know, what we have to really do, we have to concentrate. This is part of that black agenda that needs to be set up, you know. We have to pay attention to the things that matter. We have to pay attention to the things that matter. And one of the things that matters is financial and economic empowerment. Now, I didn't grow up with money. You know, my family didn't have the assets, you know. But I had a great childhood. We had a good time. The gift that I was really given, my real true inheritance was we made it possible for you to go to school and educate yourself. That's the one gift that they left me that keeps on giving. But some of my brothers ain't in that position. So even those brothers, I always say everybody can't obtain a liberal arts degree. Somebody has to be vocational. Somebody has to – I mean, as intellectual as I like to think I am, if my fuse box go out, I got to call somebody who's smarter than me.
Oh, yeah.
So he might not know who wrote what book, but he know how to get my power back on. Guess who's ignorant? Your degree of ignorance depends solely on where you standing at any given time.
Yes, Lord.
So, T-Brad, Almighty Dollar, man, where are we going with this?
I think it's like when I was told that what the topic was. My mind just went in 100 different rooms because it's easily, so many people would have just went with, we are the consumer, we control this, and we, and
no,
I know
no.
that there it's a more layered effect to what's going on right now, and I know right now as a people, we need to be trying to build wealth. The couple dollars that, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great. But if we start thinking forward and stop thinking backwards, I think we've been a lot better place, and that's all I'm trying to do.
One of the problems is
place.
Right now that we're more style than substance, and that's something that has to be on the agenda that needs to be dealt
well,
with. But then when you talk about that, you get down to the psychological aspect of it, in which self-hate, depression, generational poverty, all these kinds of things come into effect. Look here, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. 347-324-5414, Outlaw Radio 2.0, the almighty dollar, the need for black economic empowerment. On a Thursday night, we'll be right back after this. Rest in peace, fight.
Hey, yo, swing, 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 chop, chop, chop. Yo, that's the sound when MCs get mopped. Don't come around town without the hip in your hop, because when the shit hits the fan, that ass will get dropped. MCs want to attack me, but them punks can't go. I have you left without a job, like I could from the local. The money, watch them out. I might have to bust you. Battling MCs from JFK to Russia, back down to London, Sweden and Brazil. Do a US tour for 3 months and then I chill. Styles be fat like Jackie Gleason, the rest be art corny. People love the dog like the kids love Barney. I love you, you love me. The shorty fight dog is your favorite MC. So move back yourself, dread, you know the element. The tribe is good for your health like a can of nutriment. MCs don't have no wins, MCs don't have no bitch. Flips are crazier than a bustle full of Jerry's kids. Your crew don't want it, and your crew don't want it. But if you feel you can swing it, the money, please bring it. Large professor in the house, you know how we do. I skate on your crew, like Mario Lemieux. Beat the Ike Mark and the rest of the crew. I'll meet you guys in front of the cleaners, bring the blunts and the brew, so.
What's up, kids? The Abbott speaker from the moon. Thanks for your support. Ayo, I'll be home soon. But the only thing I ask when I return from my task is a whole bunch of beats and a flask full of ass. My fist stands firm because I'm black and solid. I open up your pores like a plate full of collards. Come on, take it easy, would ya? Easy, easy. I'm up in the gully, that's when I am her buddy. She told me pull her hair, I did, it drove her nutty. Filled up the hole like spackle, or I mean putty. When we over joints like this, we never cruddy. Extra P hook the beat, and kids, it feels lovely. Check it out, cause my conception is immaculate. A bachelor, looking for a bachelorette. Back to you, MCs. This is what you're gonna get, a first degree burn from my man Ken's cigarette. I hope you like Marlboro, for you know we thorough like Denver. The beat feels like a never ender, but all things good must, so I won't sweat it. Drop the seeds over you for crew, I hope to get it as I stand. Rip this mic inside my hand. Boy, I smack you up like I was your old friend. So respect yourself, son, and come and give me love. Once again, the ab is who you think of. So chill with the beef money, we got a jetty.
It's extra PAO tip, I'm about to set it on the country once again, here to win. I'm uptown chillin', taking in this Grandmaster Vic blend from the projects, the PJs. Fuck them two DJs, self-mission. I had her in the ill position, saying large. You the soul brother that I like to F with. Yeah, now check the method as I proceed with what you need like Acanelli. A whip looks complete when the tires say Pirelli. Funk monkey, one rapper fell off, now he's a junkie. There's 8 million stories in the city, it's a pity. Don't fuck with the skins if she's trying to act shitty. Big shout to the guru, Primo and Zulu. Lulu Nation was on a vacation in the ghetto. Yo, Ross, slow your roll, I'm about to bag this here schmetal. Rapper Nas on top it, seems we're gonna rock it. Queens represent by the album when I drop it.
Drop it. Drop it. Thursday night, Outlaw Radio, almighty dollar, the need for black economic empowerment. The microphone is hot. It's your boy, the world-class smartass, the mayor of Chocolate City himself, the Negro Whisperer, in the building with my boy T. Brad. Getting it in, man. We're going to talk about this money. And when I say black economic empowerment, please understand where I'm going with this. I'm not talking about name brands. Look, we have to stop being super loyal to corporations that are not loyal to us. If it does not fit within the black agenda, if it does not serve the people's best interests, it must be done away with. That is the ideology that we operate with here on Chocolate City. Outlaw Radio, the People's Network, People Talk Radio, whatever it is, whatever, 3041 Live, Urban Moves.
I don't care what you call it. Just goddamn call it.
It's the same animal with a different collar on, and we keep her chained up because she get loose.
That's
your ass, Mr. Postman.
Right.
T-Brat.
Yes, sir.
What's in your trick bag?
Man, look, like I say, it's a beautiful thing to be able to actually finally vocalize what we feel about the black dollar and the importance of keeping the black dollar in the black community. We've talked on several different occasions about other nationalities and how they're moving forward and being progressive with their own kind, but we've never come up with the plan for us. And I think that's where it starts. We have to – what was the saying? The Jewish dollar goes between a Jewish hand seven times or something like that before it goes. We need to get on those
kind of levels. White communities, the recycling of their money is unlimited.
We need to go there.
We
need black stores. We need black grocery stores. We need black. I don't care if you're going to the fast food joint. We got black owned fast food joints. I mean, whatever. We need to keep our money inside our hands.
But there's a lack of solidarity.
Yes, but at some point.
But there's also a lack of understanding. And we're going to talk about that.
That's true as well.
We're going to talk about that. I want to do Tell Me Something Good right quick. You know, this week was Michael McGee Sr.'s 66th birthday. And
the commander.
The commander. And I will say this, because I'm old enough to remember. In the 80s, when Milwaukee really became a cold piece of work, we didn't have a whole lot of representation downtown.
We had the old commander.
But the commander was no punk. If you go to City Hall right now and you look at the picture of the Common Council, I want to say 1984, 85, he actually has a paper bag over his head. And they said, why? He said, because I don't even want to show my face as a politician down here with the state, this city, the state black people are in, and the things y'all do. He was just that kind of dude. He always kept it popping, man. He was nationally recognized.
Remember
that
down
dude,
there on Third Street flipping cars?
On the talk show. What was it? It wasn't Springer. It was
Oprah.
Was it Springer? No, it was Springer. When he went to fighting, it was the commander was true to it. So it was his birthday.
Did he go to Springer?
I thought it was Springer. I know he was on TV fighting
like
back in the day. It wasn't over.
I think their brother was in the
It was it Geraldo? It might have been Geraldo. Remember he used to be like a man, Morton Downey Jr., right?
No, I said Morton Downey Jr. Ricky
right.
Lake, is it?
Right, Ricky
Jenny
Lake.
Jones.
Jenny Jones, right? Ooh.
Last time you heard
Rolanda.
Oh, wow. Sister's still out here getting chopped.
Right. Just to love me some Rolanda. Look here, man. So I'm saying that the commander was the truth, man. And we need, you know, he inspired me to do exactly what I'm doing right now. Because he could have took the money and ran. He could have did what everybody else did, and he just didn't. I guess he wasn't wired like that.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the commander, man, and
good
Mike Jr. They do their thing. So that's my Tell Me Something Good. Tell Me Something Good.
Okay, I wanted to start it with something else because about a month ago, I was always talking about myself when it was Tell Me Something Good. And I wanted to, you know, start delving off into other things that I was seeing and reading out here in this world. And I came up with one a couple weeks ago, and like I said, I fell flat on my face when you said, Tell Me Something Good, T-Brad. I went some total different direction because I couldn't remember it. So I wanted to make sure I still gave these brothers their props. Chicago Urban Prep Academy over there on the south side of Chicago. For the seventh consecutive year, this brother has – it's the first officer of all-boys school. But this man has gotten his graduates. First off, he graduated his senior class with 100%. And not only did he do that, but he also got them all 100% of every one of those young men have been accepted to a college or university. And I think that's something that needs to be applauded. All the stories you hear coming from Chicago, man – It's always death and negative and it's always bad. So to have a young man over there teaching them young men to stay on their toes, man, and keep their focus and stay grounded, I think that's a beautiful thing, man.
In the midst of war, because it's
right.
Actually war over there.
Right. And then secondly, I got to go back to me. I got to. My 17-year-old son today, Elijah Terrence Bradshaw, made his first step into young manhood by getting his permit.
Uh-oh.
And I'm excited about
that,
man.
And only black people say permit.
Well, I don't know what you call
it. Black people just call it permit, but black people say permit.
He got it. Because we French.
Right, right.
That's the French
version. You Frenched it. You Frenched it.
That's French.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I'm proud of him, man. Young man keeps impressing me, and I'm happy to, you know, to call him my son, man. He makes me very proud to be a father.
Hey, man, and look, when we talk about a black agenda, you have to understand that that mentorship and fatherhood is such an important aspect of the revolution that needs to be. See, as black men, we have to reinvest in young black men because you have to pass your experiences down. It ain't good enough for you to be a Jedi. You have to find you a young Padawan so you can train him, you know, raise him up right, as they say. 347-324-5414.
Despite of who I am.
Hey,
man,
he'll be able to drive. Ain't nothing like a you ever met a brother who's a male, you know, you see this brother, you say, man, when you come out, I don't drive. What you mean you don't drive? There's always something questionable about
like
a brother don't drive.
It was like back when we was youngest, man. When you ride, you was 8, 9 years old. You got your bike. You know, you meet a brother ain't got no bike. You're like, man, what's wrong, man?
Well, I understood that. But
no, I didn't.
But a brother who say not only does he not have a car, he doesn't drive. I don't have license. What's wrong with you? You a painter or a ballerina?
Who said you a painter or a ballerina?
Right, one of the two. And we ain't even going into that. 347-324-5414. I want to do my David Clark Award, my Coon of the Week Award. I want to give that away early and often, as they say. And if you don't know, you know, we try to steer away from negative, like, because I'm all about supporting other brothers in their endeavors. But sometimes brothers do coonish things, and I feel like if we don't call them on it, then no accountability is established. So when certain brothers do certain things, or certain, it don't even have to be a brother, it could be a Caucasian. When they do certain things that's detrimental to the struggle, that's counter-revolutionary, I have to call them out on it.
Yes, sir.
So this week I want to go to Peter Guns. And I know it's pop culture, and this show is about deeper level thinking. But I'm just, you know, watching the idiot box and realizing that these kinds of brothers have more influence on the masses than a brother like myself, because I'm not on Love and Hip Hop. But it's due to just keep having babies back and forth. And I know it's for the show, but, bruh, you're making us all look very bad.
Speak for yourself. I don't associate with
him. Well, you don't.
He likes skin.
But in terms of our quest for liberation, every time we try to show Exhibit A, they show Exhibit B. And Exhibit B is real. Don't think there's not a million Peter Guns out here right now in every community.
Do you know how many brothers and sisters I got? My daddy didn't play.
My daddy was the original Peter Guns. They called him Peter Two Guns.
Oh, for real, though. But in all honesty, man, what we have to realize is that this is what they show us. What we have to realize is I don't care who it is, black entertainers, black actors, black comedians, black cameramen, black, I don't care who it is. But somebody else needs to get our voice out there. Somebody else needs to get the depiction of real black men out there, because what they continue to show us is going to do nothing but degrade. It's going to get worse and worse.
Well, it's not our system to begin with. It's not set up to show us in a positive light. And as soon as we understand that, you know, it's like I said, we will wear and drive and live a certain way. And none of what we do will actually have anything to do with the greater struggle. Like, I can get a good job, move to the suburbs, get a nice car, get a nice home, get a good job, play along, and just play that fiddle until I cash out.
Tell us the fiddle.
Or I could really get a job that means something. I could really pursue my passions. I could reinvest in my blackness. I could understand my responsibility as a black man. I could decipher accountability and what I should be doing versus what I am doing, and I'm even able to weigh this out, what I want to do and what I need to do. When you break down accountability, you get there. There's a lot of things I want to do right now, but it's way more things that I need to do, want, need. And that's entirely connected into money and investments and all that kind of thing, because that's how we waste money, because we get want and need confused. You don't need Robin Jean. You want Robin Jean.
Well, some of us, I don't even think they mix want and need. I think the lack of need has made want seem so powerful. When you haven't had just daily things that you need, when you get to that point,
sometimes it shifts, and it doesn't matter what you need anymore. It's I want this, and I'm going to get it because I ain't never had nothing.
Right. But that's
the mindset that needs to change.
That's the slave mentality. Well, the great black hangover.
Hell, we were slaves.
We did a show.
Hell, we were slaves.
We did a show. The Great Black Hangover. Post-traumatic slave syndrome in America. You don't even remember that show.
Yeah, I do. I was here.
You numb to it. You numb to it. You desensitized to the revolution.
No, I can't say that because what I am desensitized to is ignorance. I'm tired. It got to the point where I remember I always go back to comedy. I think find things funny.
Got off of me doing my coon of the week.
We're going to get back to it, though.
I'm going to let you finish, but.
I'm going to let you finish, but still, Beyonce had the best. No, but look, Chris Rock had the joke. I lost where I was going with that. Rap music, tired of defending it. When you watch the news and you sit around people, I don't even mean different races. I mean with your own people. When you sit amongst your family, your friends, I'm tired of saying, what is they doing now? You know, every day is something. And I'm tired of defending what's going on in the community. At some point, we have to stand up, man, and say enough is enough. We can't wait for nobody else to do it. We're way beyond that.
With that said, I was talking about Peter Guns as my coon of the week. And really, it's just about how you wear this thing, man. And I know real brothers say it ain't on you, it's in you.
What?
The realness. Like, there's, you know, some brothers got the Matrix in their chest. Some brothers got a Duracell in their chest. You either got a real natural organic source or you have something that's fly by night. And what I really want to say is I just want black men to understand when they get on these screens and they get in front of these cameras, the way you carry yourself is important because we have a generation of lost young black males who don't have father figures or positive male role models. So, yeah, in a de facto fashion, you become their role model. And if this is the example you set, it makes – because me, I got two kids by one woman – I'm married to her. They was both born in wedlock. But that's not the way it's supposed to go. If I'd have left it up to the masses.
Oh, I'm like, no, that is the way it's supposed to go. That's just not the way it always ends up going.
Well, for a black man who's from where I'm from, how often does it end up happening? So I'm not a phenomenon. I'm not saying I'm a phenomenon. I'm blessed more than anything else. But it's a reality. It's not like we don't have brothers out here who ain't try to at least walk, you know, upright. And I think they're undisturbed.
It's difficult, Lord. It ain't easy.
It's very hard because Satan stays busy. So Peter Guns is one of my coons
of
the week.
Did you call Peter Guns Satan?
No, I gave some attributes.
Okay.
You know, my daddy was a preacher, and so was my grandfather.
So he's satanic. He ain't Satan.
Well, we always going to call Satan where we see him at. This is one of my gifts. My second one and is this. Black people on social media. Let me tell y'all something. Stop putting all your business on social media. It's social media. It's just Facebook. I guarantee you, if I really know you, it doesn't matter what you put on there. It's not going to affect the way I feel about you or the way I assess you character-wise. So I see people put a lot of ignorant video up, and you see the effect in the 414 Freedom Gang Facebook group. We got one white dude in that group.
Shout out, Scott.
Shout out to Scott.
He holding on like a hubcap.
Man, I done tried to kick him out.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because you can't even kick Scott out. I think Scott is an administrator by now. Scott get his point across one way or another. And the one thing I will say is, Scott will make you walk away from your phone, computer, or whatever you own. Because it gets to the point where you want to tell Scott something about himself, but you don't want to.
No.
Because Scott will go after you.
The funniest part is,
but he's got that Republican mindset.
Everybody
so even
comes,
when he says something
everybody
wrong.
Everybody comes at me because of the way this thing is set up. Like, Kev, why do you let this white boy stay in the group? But, you know, a challenge, you have to be able to challenge yourself.
If you can't.
And not that we have to establish our benchmark by a white person, But if you don't understand what the other side is saying, you'll never be able to deal with it.
And that's what's my problem with Scott. He can't never see what the other side is saying. And now when he was on the show, because first off, we got to start by saying Scott was a guest of the show.
Out of the blue.
Just randomly.
I can honestly say the mayor pulled that one out his ass.
No, literally, because when I walked in, I'm like, who's dude? I'm like, you got security, Kev?
Kev got the police here.
I'm like, Kev got security.
He is the only white person that has ever been on my show.
And, hey, he didn't back down that night. But that night, I was kind of rocking with Scott because some of the things he was saying weren't as far-fetched. He got behind that keyboard. And Scott turned to Meek Mill. I'm telling you, Scott got, he turned to Twitter fingers.
Right.
I'm telling you, Scott get gangster. He shut my one partner down so cold, I had to just back up off my phone. I ain't going
to
say nothing about it. I ain't going
to
call that man name. But Scott did that boy so wrong, I wanted to forget I knew that young brother. I said, damn, Scott. Damn.
But I could have told that brother, don't, you know what I'm saying?
But Scott got that Republican in him, so even when you hit him with the truth, he can't see it as the truth.
He just
back up.
He's a white boy that don't mind talking to black people, even if he don't agree with them. He don't mind talking to you. So.
He don't mind talking to nobody. Scott likes to talk.
He's a politician.
And type.
Look, so my other coon of the week is social media Negroes, and it has a lot to do with him because – When you put certain things up, like there was a video that went viral with, I don't know where they were from. It was a brother and a sister. He put the gun in their mouth first. You see this whole ignorant thing?
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch it. I'm not going to attempt to tell you about it.
Well,
it's the most sideways, ignorant black shit I've ever seen. It sets us back several steps. But that's their ammunition. So what I'm saying is, when we talk about economic empowerment, we're talking about getting money. We're talking about the main reason that black people can't really stand up against racism is because we have no financial backing. If I get arrested at a rally, I don't have a lawyer.
Jay-Z and Beyonce ain't coming, bro.
Right. Right. My wife downloaded the song. Yeah. Milwaukee County Jail just downloaded your ass. Processing. They process Negroes in Milwaukee.
Yes, Lord. Even if you got your money, you're going to sit down there 5-6 hours.
Right. I mean, it has to go on. So, T-Brad, what's on your notepad?
Okay, real quick. This is where I'm going with my corner of the week this week. First and foremost, I want to say real quick, I don't know what's going on with these Donald Trump rallies, but I think the protesters should stop going. It's not looking good. They're catching L's, man. They're catching L's. Now,
hashtag white people will jump you.
Hashtag white people
you,
will
hashtag
jump
hashtag you
white
thought
people.
It was sweet.
Look, hashtag white people fucks up white people. Look, we're in Wisconsin, in Janesville. The city that the Speaker of the House is from. A young white lady, 15 years old. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Now, the Trump supporters, this is why I'm calling y'all Coon of the Week this week, because y'all went too far. I could even go with the macing. Not saying it's okay, but it's still along the lines of the things that y'all do consistently. That's being consistent. But now there are stories that this young lady was groped and sexually harassed in the process. Now,
was it a thumb involved?
No, apparently her breasts were grabbed. Somebody rubbed their hand across her crotch area.
She wasn't actively sodomized, though.
No, her jeans stayed on.
Because usually the white man leaves some sodomy.
No, her jeans stayed on.
He
but it was
right.
Just because there was a camera.
You know
there.
The white man will leave some sodomy.
Oh, he will leave some semen, some sodomy.
All asses.
But no,
and then get some solidarity.
It's going too far. It's going too far. I understand. At first, I was actually rocking with white people for liking Trump. I was, because I got it. Everybody's tired of politics as usual. And the farther Trump went, the bigger the following got. I mean, as more racist and derogatory and ugly he became, the following got bigger. I'm like, this is white people moment. They having one. And now it's just going too far. It's just going too far. It's going too far. This young lady, if she was really sexually groped and molested, and assaulted the way they're saying it happened, it's gone too far, man. That's one of y'all. Come on now. And then on the other side, I still have to go and give, I know this sounds stupid, but it's the way I feel. I still have to give the coon of the week as well to the people who keep going to these rallies. Ain't nothing good happened to the opposition at a Trump rally. So why are y'all still going? But I will say this one. It was funny. It was a young man downtown, and this man, I can't remember what channel was down there, but it was national television. And somebody had a sign that said, Donald Trump, Metro Boomin. Whatever the little saying is.
You
from
stay
the
focused on, no matter how focused you get, you're going to stay trailed in on the ignorance.
Dude, I swear, I likely to die when I see this picture. I was like, dude, because it was one of the, was it the morning cruise or something? It was national TV.
Give us free in the chat room. It's time to get educated.
But downtown
look, the
Milwaukee
episode, listen,
was going
the
bad.
The episode does not change until Give Us Free get in the chat room. Shout out to Give Us Free. I want him to call in. I want to hear his voice. But look here.
Sounded
nothing. Yeah. I mean, but intellectually, he gets me charged because he challenges all the information.
Yes, sir.
And that's what the revolution is about. 347-324-5414, no homo for the Negro Whisperer.
Metro Boomin don't like you.
Right. I don't even know Metro Boomin.
What is it, though? Metro Boomin, he don't trust you. Metro Boomin don't trust you.
I've never met him either. Yeah. I'm from Atkinson, mixed with Capital.
No, he's a young person.
347-324-5414, the almighty dollar. The need for black economic empowerment. We're approaching this thing from, like, I'm forever enriched because I actually went, you know, I have to be convinced and moved to do things. I went and listened to Dr. Claude Anderson, and I really understood him. And we haven't met yet, but the ideology is in effect. We're going to be right back after this.
Die, nigga.
All you brothers and sisters using the word
nigga. That's all I
can do. Black
race. Talk about it.
You can do what you want.
I think the lyrics are a bit too harsh.
I ain't no nigga. Bust
the 7 days
from
that
hip-hop.
Got to do a four-letter word.
The way you talk about women is bullshit.
What you motherfuckers doing for the black community anyway?
Motherfucker, I got kids. I don't want to listen to that bullshit.
Fuck the nigga.
Motherfuckers need to stop.
How can you call yourself a nigga and be proud of it?
Flatline.
Bullshit.
Why do I call myself a nigga, you ask me? Well, it's because motherfuckers wanna blast me and run me out of my neighborhood and label me as a dope dealer, yo, and say that I'm no good. But I gave out jobs so niggas wouldn't have to go out. Give up the dope in a corner so they could show out. When the cops came, they gave a fake name because the life in the streets is just a head game. So therefore, to make more, a 15-year-old black kid will go and rob a liquor store and get shot in the process. He ate up a 9 bullet, now he's put to rest. Why do I call myself a nigga, you ask me? I guess it's just the way shit has to be. Back when I was young, getting a job was murder. Fuck flipping burgers, cause I deserve a 9 to 5 I could be proud of, that I could speak loud of, and to help a nigga get out of, yo, the concrete playground. But most motherfuckers only want you to stay down. But I'm a smart motherfucker, you see. One of the best producers in the rap music industry. Getting paid like a motherfucker, a young brother that don't give a fuck about another, yeah. Why do I call myself a nigga, you ask me? Because police always wanna harass me. Every time that I'm rolling. They swear up and down that the car is stolen. Make me get face down in the street and throw the shit out my car on the concrete in front of a resident. A million white motherfuckers on my back like I shot the president. Why do I call myself a nigga, you ask me? Because my mouth is so motherfucking nasty. Bitch this, bitch that, nigga this, nigga that. In the meanwhile, my pockets are getting fat. Getting paid to say this shit here. Making more in a week than a doctor makes in a year. So why not call myself a nigga? It's better than pulling a trigger and going up the river. And then I get called a nigga anyway. Fuck is a motherfucker and locked away. So, to cut out all that bullshit, yo, I guess I'll be a nigga for life.
Nigga! Crackers, if there's hell below, we're all gonna go. Nigga, 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 please. I'm treated like a fucking disease to say why do I call myself a nigga so quick? Cause I can reach in my drawers and pull out a bigger dick. Yo, nigga say nigga, we cool, but crackers say nigga, nigga, not the fuck up. But I gotta be a fast nigga to never be the last nigga, or I have to beat your ass. First, I curse because I'm real with this to keep my shit straight bumping. Murder created by the streets of Compton. And I get it from the underground poet. I live it, I see it, and I write it because I know it. And if you think I'm fucking your wife, you motherfucking. cause I'm a nigga for life.
I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas, because niggas are me, and I should only love that forgives me. I love to see niggas.
Nigga, this, nigga, that. The actual fact is that I'm black and bound to extract the attention of another, I mean the other. But I'm a motherfucker that'll have him run up a cover. You see, I don't give a fuck about nothing except getting paid, getting bitches, and issue with stitches, which is all needed to read it and find the rhyme. And then it's time to say the niggas here to stay. But what about the fake niggas, the house niggas? To get paid quick, they gotta suck a fat dick. But NWA is out of your motherfucking range. We ain't gonna change a motherfucking thing. I call myself a nigga cause my skin won't lighten. I call myself a nigga cause the shit that I'm writing hypes me, hypes other motherfuckers around me. And that's the reason why they wanna surround me and ask me, why do I call myself a niggero? Ain't none of their fucking business cause I let the trigger go. So get out my presence and get out of my sight, cause MC Ren is a nigga for life, yeah.
You're a nigga to your dad. If you're a poor nigga, you're a poor nigga. If you're a rich nigga, you're a rich nigga. But you never stop being a nigga. If you get to be educated, you're just an educated nigga.
I'm a nigga, he's a nigga, she's a nigga, we some niggas, wouldn't you like to be a nigga too?
Welcome back to the show. The song that they didn't play in the movie, right?
I can dig it.
347-324-5414 is the number you can call. We're talking about black economic empowerment. And see, we have to process this like this. There's a global campaign on the black man. It's not just in America. All over the earth, melanin gets you in trouble. The blacker you are, the deeper the envy. It's not your fault. See, this is the message that we need to give to our people. It's not your fault. You don't have to feel bad about being black.
Beautiful.
You know, when I was very young, I was blessed with a mentality in which I used to say, if you don't like me, it don't have nothing to do with me. It's because you're a bad person. Like, only bad people don't like me because I'm true to it, right? And this is the mentality that black men have to establish. So, T-Brad, I know you had something you wanted to do. I know you had something that was near and dear to your heart. So I want to introduce this segment, T-Brad's Notepad.
All right. Real quick. Every Thursday now, he's giving me an opportunity. The mayor here is giving me an opportunity to talk about things that are prevalent and have substance in my life. Now, I'm not going to tell you every week is going to be extremely positive. Some weeks is going to be extremely ignorant. Some weeks is going to be all kind of different things, because it's really about just the things that I see and put my focus on throughout the week. But in my inaugural, I wanted to say that real quick, get that out the way.
Why you sound like you got excited? I didn't even respond. Normally, when you use a good word, I get involved. But I'm like, that's not a good word.
Hey, that's why I paused. I thought you was gonna say something.
Man, look, I had your back on that.
In my first week here, I want to talk about one thing real quick, and I'm gonna get it out the way. But I also want the mayor's opinion on it as well. But with all this campaigning going on right now, with all these people running for office, I thought about one of the issues that was most important to me, and that is mental health. I got a sister who suffered from mental health issues. If you know me, I've said it. Hell, you probably met her. You know, so this is something that's near and dear to my heart. In the last, about 6 months ago, I lost my mom, so it's become my responsibility to be there to help and take care of my sister. It's all on my shoulders now. So in that, I looked at all the candidates, even our local candidates, for mayor, alderman. Did anybody speak on what they're going to do to combat mental health issues in America? Start with the presidential candidates. And I got twisted right away, because the only thing they'll speak of, and this has been my problem that me and my mom dealt with at least for the last 10 years, the only thing that the candidates bring up
are the mass shooters and the violence that happens. But people who live with mental health issues day to day aren't all violent. And the problem is, especially for me and my family, we've been trying to get my sister help of some kind of substance that would actually help her live her life in a better manner, and there's nothing there. The only thing they offer is jail once the person of mental health has done something wrong. And so, like I say, looking at the candidates, the two highest Republican candidates, both spoke about the mass shootings. Like I said, that's the only thing they would connect, except, no, I'm sorry, they brought the veterans in as well. But their whole thing is, oh, don't ban the guns. And mental health immediately switched and changed to this issue about gun control. I don't get it. Then I look at the Democratic candidates. Now, Bernie has some things to say. He talked about, you know, revolutionizing the mental health, the whole system. He wants to send dollars to it. He wants to promote people going to school for these kind of things. But my thing with Bernie is a lot of the stuff he shoots for are going to get shot down because he's not going to be able to get these things through Senate and Congress. There's no in hell we're going to have free education for everybody. Let's just not think that. Let's just not think that. I don't want to steer people wrong, but everything he's trying to put forth, some of them just will not go past the legislative groups. It's just not going to happen. So now we have to be more realistic. So then Hillary Clinton, let me see what she got. And just like the Republicans, she went straight to the mass shootings, and she didn't even bring up the veterans. So my point in this is, what are people going to do? What are these candidates? When we talk about issues, like I say, we always have to look for the person who has issues or stances that agree with the issues that we all have in our personal lives. And like I say, with this being an issue that I deal with in my everyday life, as a voter, where do I turn if nobody's saying the right thing? What do you do? Do you get up? Do you fight for yourself? Because in today's day and age, there is nothing being done. I can say from a local standpoint, there is nothing being done. My sister's had episodes where things have happened, and the police's only response is, well, she hasn't been violent to herself or anyone else. So, therefore, you can't do anything. I had one cop actually come to my house when my mother called the police about something my sister did, who interrogated me. What have you been to jail for? Are you on paper or parole? No. And I literally go through this 25 questions game with him while my sister is in need of help. So my point is, and my question is, at what point do the candidates care about what's going on with the everyday people? Because like I say, when I look through mental health for all, I didn't look at Kasich. I must not be. I have to be honest about it. It's looking like he's down and out, so I didn't even look at him. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, first of all, you have to understand that mental health, especially in the black community, is a subcategory because you're talking about people who are impoverished, so they don't actually have the money to employ what you actually need for mental health, because what you need for mental health is expert therapists, psychologists. You need the finest of the finest who understand mental capacity and mental functioning. You're talking about mental health has always been taboo in the black community because we've never had the resources to really deal with it. I've said this on the show many times. If there's anyone in your family, and the average black person can chime in with this, if there's anybody in your family who suffers from mental illness, there's really no real attention paid to his or her healing.
And see, that's where
they get a check from the government, and they stay with any relative who has an open room because they're self-sustaining because of the check. So we freeze that out. Like, that's mental health, because black people believe this, and this is one of our real serious problems. We think there's no such thing as a crazy person. Especially when you see it as in childhood, you say, well, that's my son. There's nothing wrong with him. I just need to whoop his ass. Because we were conditioned in this country getting our asses whipped. So we, in turn, it was passed down to our parents.
We're going to whoop somebody
else. So, it's all about the ass whooping. This is the lesson we learned in America. If you get your ass whooped, you'll understand it. I'm just now opening myself up to the reality that an ass whipping is not the ultimate teacher.
I'm still in the transitional phase, though. So don't run up on me. Don't run up on me and say, well, I thought you was going to negotiate. No, because I grew up, I know my parents loved me. But when I messed up, they beat my ass. It was no questions about it. Little small things. Who left the front door unlocked?
Oh, shit.
Well, it wasn't me. My brother
but
said
don't,
it was.
But looking back now as a grown man, don't that seem trivial to get knocked out over?
No, because like my mother used to put it in, any kind of freakazoid could have came up in here and did whatever.
Yeah, we team up and whoop his ass.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to whoop your ass for leaving. Why even open up the possibilities? See, it's that big picture politics. It's about not staying on guard. It's about preparing for the future. And I think we've lost that. We've lost that as black people. And we really need to understand that. You know, I said the $1.2 trillion, but you got to understand, a lot of that is our credit. Because we will finance some shit. Only black people finance furniture. I guarantee you, Rent It, Get It Now has no white customers. Unless they pour white trash. Because that's not even an asset. A couch, a sofa is not an asset. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
We spend money on that. Like, hair care for black women. That's where I go at my sisters at. Y'all hair is costing too much goddamn money.
Now, look.
Now, at the same time, I happen to be blessed by a woman that doesn't wear weave, and she does her own hair and can do somebody else's hair. So keep in mind, I'm biased because I got a good black woman. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's why to me, that I'm okay with that because what in turn should happen is other young black women should get involved in the hair care, the background scene, you know, making the products that these women are consuming, becoming consumers of. So at least if she's buying a product, she's buying it from a woman that looks exactly to what she looks. And that's the beginning of the process we're talking about black finances, you know, spending the money with your own people. I'm okay with that, as long as it doesn't get excessive.
Well, we're talking about how the black dollar gets recycled in the community.
That's one way to do it.
Which means when you spend your money as a black person, where does the money go? Does it come back home?
Hell no.
Black people got a 0% to 1% recycling rate. Latinos and Asians have 5 and 6 respectively. White people have unlimited, which means they can spend their money any which way because they own
everything.
Every goddamn thing. And it's time we get out from under that.
I went to a gas station that a white dude owned the other day. Threw me off. I thought only Indians, you know, Arizona gas stations. Sir, I digress.
Well, we're talking about the invasion of Arabs in our community as well. Like, that's entirely a part of it. Like, how can you disenfranchise my people and then allow another people? See, let's be honest. Arabs have never, like, over here they wasn't slaves. I don't know what they did in Arabia. But we are the slaves. We the OS's here. We the original slaves.
Us the original slaves.
We built this country. You want to walk on a highway, a sidewalk, we built it. You want to look at a national landmark? We built it.
Or died for it to be there.
Or died for it to be there. One thing we've done is we are the true Americans. Black people are the true Americans. And we're talking about what is America. If you ain't talking about the black experience, you're not talking about America. Because if you're European, you're talking about simple colonialization. Because what they did was colonialize North America from the Native Americans. It's business as usual. We just happen to be the only people who they brought with them. These are the domesticated people. These are the people that work for free. This country was built on the backs of free labor.
And we can't get reparations.
Free labor is the ultimate profit. I don't have to pay my workers. All I got to deal with is the profit. No benefits.
That sounds good, don't it?
Yes. And you couldn't get a company like that now. But the white man did it. He did it for hundreds of years. This was how he operated. This is how he kept us out of the money. This is why still to this day, we will spend money before we will invest money.
True.
We do not, we have no financial literacy. And we have not stepped up to the plate and told the educators or the school districts or, like we say, oh, charter school versus public school. I don't give a fuck which one of them it is. I want to know which one of them are going to educate my child the best. Because it's not about Christopher Columbus and the same old, same old.
America,
it's about you getting financial information as a young black male saying, if daddy leave $50, I'm going to make it into $100. And then your son say, I'll make it into $1,000. And then his son say, I'll make it into $1,000,000. And before we get away from this, we got
problem
a black.
Is daddy bought from
this
Jordan.
This is what white people do.
Daddy bought from Jordan.
Racism is dead. Classism is real.
Alive and breathing.
Right. Like an asthmatic. Understand where the heart beats at, man.
Yeah, that's her.
We have to understand that. And if we don't, we're doomed. We're already doomed.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're in doom right now. We need to find our way out.
It's a way out the jungle.
There's just forests and trees
Look,
everywhere.
If Harriet Tubman got two niggas to Michigan, I guarantee you I can get at least 20 to Milwaukee.
I'm already here.
Well, you already here, but you would just want to smoke with who get out. We'll be right back after this. Check it out.
On the boulevard I landed. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine? That we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean.
A tidbit, a spidgin. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
Run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, it's where you're dead wrong. I say that body and El Segundo then push it along. You be a fool to reply the Fife is not the man. Cause you know and I know that you know who I am. A special shout out piece goes out to all my pals you see. And a middle finger goes for all you punk MCs. Cause I love it when you whack MCs despise me. They get vexed, I will next to none can test me. I'm just a fly MC who's 5'3" and very brave. On top remaining, no home training cause I misbehave. I come correct and full effect of all my holes in check. And before I get the butt, the gym must be a wreck. You see my aura's positive, I don't promote no junk. See I'm far from a bully and I ain't a punk. Extremity of rhythm, yeah that's what you heard. So just clean out your ears and just check the word. Check the time. The presence was fitting. It was I, the Viper.
And me, the abstract. The rhymes were so rumpin' that the brothers wrote the Zach.
Hey, yo, Tip, do you recall when we used to rock those fly routines on your cousin's block?
Let me see. Damn, I can't remember. I'll receive the message and you will play the sender.
You're on point, Tip.
All the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
Yeah, all the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
You're all the time, Fife.
So play the Resurrector and give the dead some life.
Okay, if knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. Got the scrawny legs, but I move just like Lou Brock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child. My opera presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple. Just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone. Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady. So kids watch your back, cause I think they smoke crack. I don't doubt it. Look at how they act. I'm off to better things like a hip hop forum. Pass me the rock and I'll score them with decorum and proper. What you say, hammer? Proper. Rap is not pop if you call it that and stop.
Welcome back to the show, Outlaw Radio 2.0 on your dial. Another episode of Outlaw Radio. Hey, man, the mayor's in the building. Rest in peace to Fife. You know, we lost one of the greatest that ever did it last week. So, hey, I always got to – I told you, Tribe will be part of our playlist from now on out. No more taking it for granted. We got a call on the line. This brother's in the system. A lot of people talk about it. This brother's living it. Give him free. What's going on, man?
Hey, brothers, how y'all doing tonight?
Well, man, we're well. We holding on like a hubcap in the fast lane, trying to maintain.
Man, I didn't get to hear where you all left off at. The last thing I heard was you were talking about the spending in the black community and how to recycle the dollar. And, of course, I tried to call in after that. I may have missed something since then, so you might have to bring me up to speed a little bit.
Well, no, the thing is we have to understand that if we have this tremendous spending power, see, we look for – black people right now are on a quest for self-worth. Most black people don't understand how they fit into this puzzle. They don't understand free enterprise. They don't understand a democratic society. They don't understand consumerism. We are totally ignorant, but we're totally ignorant because of the position that we were given. We could have came to this country, like you look at Irish people, you look at Polish people, you look at German people. They came to this country even if they were refugees on their own will. They could have went to a lot of different places. We had no choice where we were taken. Our claim to fame in this country is as a servant. It's as an inferior people. And even though in some areas of the colonial South we outnumbered our oppressors, we still collectively refused to take action to free ourselves. So they interpreted that as they're cool with this. So when we look at where we're at now, all of that's a foregone conclusion. What it comes down to now is about this money. If you have a legal fund, if you have, you got a wish fund, you got a
trust fund.
If you got
a wish fund,
well, all black people have a wish fund. I wish I could have some fun. Right. Put a D on it. But
we don't hope, we wish.
Right. We are the poorest people in this country, but we spend more money than anybody. Which makes no sense. How can we spend more money and earn less money?
You know, it's been a minute since I've called in, and you know I've got my own opinion about that. Now, I'll let you guys go ahead, but it's killing me holding this in because I could answer a lot of those questions you have. Of course, from
answer.
A standpoint. Well,
answer it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Let's start with how can black people spend so much money? And the issue being that it's not being recycled in the community. Now, you know where I'm calling from. You know where I'm at.
Yes, sir.
I'm also in the South. So being incarcerated, number one. Being in the South, number two. And coming from a different country. Now, mind you, I'm from the Dominican Republic. I was, you know, young when I came here, but the immigrating to America mentality, I still have it. Here's the thing that I see. Number one, the reason why you have the money that's not going to generate is because, especially in this area, now, you know, I'm here, but I live up top too, same town. You have a lot of people that don't want to see. And this is the thing. When I was in Milwaukee and I ran my business there, a white man told me this. Now, I live in Mount Pleasant, so, you know, Racine County is not exactly, quote-unquote, racially, what's the word I'm looking for?
Diverse.
They're not, yeah, it's not as diverse as a lot of people would think. I had a white man tell me this. out of the town of Mount Pleasant. He was a maple miner. He owned a construction company. Made a lot of sense. I have a transportation company, which is one of the reasons why I'm incarcerated. And he made this comment about doing business with black people. And I couldn't be mad at him because he told the truth. He says, listen, you having the same transportation company, you know, offering this service to take people to prisons. Now, if you pulled up in a van and six black people had given you your van, and I was to pull up with the same van going to the same place, those six black people would come and get in my van and give me the money first. Not because they felt that they had to, but because they would feel more comfortable with it. If you see a white person, instantly a black person, and I'm not saying all, but average, the average black person feels more comfortable. You will go spend your money with the white people because you assume they're established, they're founded, they're legit, as we say in the hood. Oh, yeah, they're hunted, they're legit. So you'll go spend your money with Jimmy, but now let Jawan or Devante come up with the same shit and try to open up a cell phone business or transportation company, whatever, you know, to try to get in the game. Shantae ain't going to go spend shit with him. She will get on that bus and take her ass way the hell out to Waukesha or Oak Creek or wherever, just to say she went out here and bought whatever she bought, and she won't go spend that money up on capital because she feels like whatever she gets from a black person is going to be substandard. It's going to be generic. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I want to say that there is a psychological phenomena in which certain Negroes feel more comfortable with white people being in charge. But that's a side effect of slavery. That's a side effect of being brought to this country as not even a citizen. We weren't even considered a citizen in this country. That's ingrained. See, I always say part of this problem is in equal parts. There's the systemic part of it, and there's the systematic part of it. Because it was systematic for so long, it has become a systemic dependency for us. Now, I will tell you this. I'm married to a black woman, and I actually chose my mate. I didn't end up with her and be like, well, I'm just going to go with her.
I'm rocking with this
but
one.
She, as me as a leader, as a revolutionary, first and foremost, she is down with it. She's not going to keep running to the suburbs buying their brands. Being like, you know, see, my wife is fly without Gucci. She's fly without Dolce and Gabbana. If you put that on her, it just make her look better, but it ain't like she need it. Like, I could put some Pro Wings on her, and, you know, we could have two more kids. You feel me? So it's not something that's based on our consumer addiction. And we've gotten money. We still continue to get money. That's why we can feed our children. But none of our money, we're not affiliated corporately, because we know corporations don't give a damn about us. The one thing about black men is we have to lead black women. Yeah, they're strong. They're vivacious, they're brilliant, they're expressive, and most of them, the good ones, smell good, and pheromones is entirely important. I mean, we're talking psychologically, right? What? Why do you like your woman, right?
Now,
so,
you know what? That works both ways now. I agree with you to a certain extent, but that works both ways. Because
yes,
what
sir.
You said about the woman, what you said about the woman you have to take into consideration. You have a woman that knows who she is and knows her worth. You got one black woman that knows this, and she might be one. What is the population of Milwaukee? 500,000? Okay, if the population is 500,000 and 399,000 are black, she might be one of 200 that knows her self-worth.
Look, I'm not even trying to give her a Grammy. She's not Whitney Houston. She don't believe that children are our future. I'm trying to tell you.
She knows who she is, though. And
she is.
There's some
black compatibility to it. What I'm saying is you have to give credit where credit is due. And see, this is the point that we miss when you're out here in this struggle. You know, how much do you contribute to the defamation of your character? And that's an important question. And I said that to say this. There was a time in my life when I'm so Northside and I'm so Milwaukee that it is what it is and it does what it does. It's not premeditated. T. Brad, you know this.
Oh yeah.
It's not. I didn't know I was gonna do this.
No, he didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
But since this is the situation at hand, it works out the way it works out. But what I was I was never a black man who didn't invest in himself. I recognized my talents. I was consumed by my inequities. I was consumed. I was totally lost. Can I get a witness? Totally involved, totally waist deep in the streets, but I was so willing because of my rationality when I met a black woman who I knew, hey, man, it's not her, it's me. Because most of the time, if you look at it, when you got a strong sister, it ain't her, it's you. I be on some bullshit. I can readily admit that. And see, that's the nation building that we have to undertake. We have to stop looking at our women like she out to get me. Trust your own instincts. If you chose to live with her, there has to be some worth. Why not invest in her worth as opposed to her negatives? Because realistically, if my wife wanted to invest in my negatives, right.
I was not going to say one word. Your son is to my right.
Nah, he understands. He got my chromosome. So I'm saying, as black men, we have to take responsibility for that. It's not about, you know, I'm a Generation Xer. I came up with, we don't love them hoes, and I don't trust a bitch, and I don't, like, all that kind of negative ideology. That was counter-revolutionary. Thank God that I had a strong relationship with my mother so that I really understood that black women are the foundation. It takes black men to step into the realm of accountability in order to make this thing flow. So this revolution flows through us. You got to have an Audi. You can't have an Annie. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing a lesbian doesn't have on me. She got a strap on, I stick out. Naturally. This naturally. This grows from my torso. It's not an apparatus. So we really have to invest in black masculinity, my brother. And I know you're in that situation, but that's why you got to fight harder than ever. You know what I mean? Like, you got to fight harder than ever so you can get back home to your people so we can build this nation. This nation building going on. You got me?
You're absolutely right. Look, I won't even begin to go into the horror stories in here. And we have almost the same concept on a family unit. You know, of course, I put more. I'm a little older. You know, I'm going on 50, so I have a little different take on that. But you're absolutely right about everything you said. You know, I put more on the black woman because I come from an era where, you know, I was right before the Too Short and the DJ Quicks and everything else, you know, the Trusto bitch and all that. And I come from an era where, as a black man, we couldn't do what we did if we didn't have this strong black woman. See, a lot of the younger generations in their 30s and 20s, they believe that, well, you get a strong black man, he's going to save out. You get a strong black man, he's going to save the woman. And I didn't come from that generation. I came from that generation to relate it to American terms. If this Pearl and this Rose didn't do what they did, if Barbara Jean, Oscar and Leo, the oldest wouldn't go do shit. You know, he got up and did it because Bertha made him do it. You know,
well, I hate to see short-sighted individuals who step out here and claim to be conscious, but they don't understand the big picture. They don't want to include the black woman because the biggest lie that the devil ever told was when he told the black woman and the black man that we don't need each other. You know what I'm saying? Without together, it's the ultimate yin and ultimate yang. You can't get understanding until you get it from where you came from. And if you come from a black woman, how could you ever steer clear of that? You can't hate where you came from or you hate yourself. You have to accept and celebrate where you came from. I came from a black woman. I got my name from a black woman. I got my game from a black woman. And here we stand. T. Brad, come on, man.
Look, man, you brothers is both going into some deep, deep, deep stuff. But I understand both sides of the story. I understand being able to be strong because you got that strong woman behind you, but I also understand being strong enough to lead. So we stuck in a situation where, as a black man, you have to be willing to take control of your life and the people who depend on you for their life. And that's everybody inside the brick walls you call home, wherever they are. And so, therefore, I think having a woman to be consistent is the key. Good, bad, or indifferent, be consistent. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm expecting you to do this, I need you not to do that. You know? And that's all it's going to take for things to fly right by me anyway.
But what's the corrective strategy? If she does that, when I wanted her to do this, how do you deal with that?
Well, you have to realize that she worth this and that, because if she's not, then you need to go in a different direction.
Too much this and that involved.
Yeah, hey,
I'm
no, that's life. That's life. You got to make decisions, man, every day, quick. I mean, quick, snap quick. If the people near you, with you, or around you aren't conducive to you being a better person, you might got the wrong people by you.
347-324-5414. I want to get back into the almighty dollar. I want to talk about the need for black economic empowerment. I want to talk about the economic inequalities when it comes to politics. And I want to explain to my people why we're not represented politically, legislatively, like we should be. Why is there no laws on the books that support what we need? 347-324-5414 is the number you can call. I'll tell you right after this.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. Your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover, holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-T-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number 2, my philosophy. Number 1 was poetry, you know it's me. You know it's my philosophy. Many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable, I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect, cause that's just what K.R. K.R. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft punk? From the Bronx is back. In real, real life, we roll correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but they can't. Cause like a champ, I have got a record of knocking out the frauds in a second. On the mic, I believe that you should get loose. I haven't come to tell you I got juice. I just produce, create, innovate on a higher level. I'll be back, but for now, just speckle. A teacher will begin to say, I play the 9 and you play the target. You all know my name, so I guess I'll just start it. Or should I say start this? Just wick, wick, whack, wick, whack. I'm not white or red or black.
what it meant to DJ Scott
DJ
LaRock.
Scott LaRock. You're a philosopher?
Yes, I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, the teacher will begin to speak. How many MCs must get dissed before somebody says don't with Chris?
Chris?
This is just one style out of many. Like a piggy bank, this is one penny. My brother's name is Kenny.
Kenny.
That's Kenny Walker. My other brother, ICU.
Welcome back to the show, Outlaw Radio, Almighty Dollar. We're talking about the need for black economic empowerment. When we talk about our median income is half of what the white man's is, when we talk about the assets that they own are double and triple the assets that we own, when we talk about the fact that our community has been invaded by other cultures, and we've allowed and empowered them to come into to our space and carve out their own niche. We've sent their children to college while our kids are going to the penitentiary. There's a definite need to empower ourselves economically. And when I say that, I mean we have to understand, we have to get financial literacy. We have to pay off our debts and get our credit right.
Start to release.
We have to take out insurance on our assets, and we have to establish real solid wills so that when we transition, our seeds and our heirs can inherit the riches that we have or have not accumulated. And one of the biggest issues is that black parents oftentimes leave their children broke. My parents didn't leave me totally broke, but they didn't leave me with enough assets to insulate me. And it's no knock on how good of parents that they were. I mean, the fact that they left me with something as a black man is incredible. But it wasn't enough that I could transfer it to my son. It would have taken a level of investment individually that I wasn't ready to meet. I wasn't ready to ring that bell. I wasn't there financially myself yet. So I couldn't inherit your problems when I have my own. And we have to stop going check to check, living neck to neck. We have to understand the value of old money. T. Brad, let's wrap this up.
Look, I want to go back real quick. And I want to ask you a question. I want to pose a question to you, the man. Earlier, right before the last video song break, you and the brother Give Us Free were speaking about women and the contribution to the woman to your life. Well, my question to you would be this. If your woman wasn't in the same place, I don't mean financially, but I mean being financially literate the way you are. By that, I'm saying wanting to move forward as far as insurance, wanting to make investments and things of that nature. If y'all weren't on the same playing field mentally, financially, would that be a deterrent?
Well, I tell brothers this all the time. Your true and living conviction is based on your selection process. And they say love is blind.
Shit. Bills ain't.
It's actually not. Love is not blind. It's just that ignorance is bliss. And love and ignorance go hand in hand.
Because of the name of Al Green's song.
It involves blind emotions and irrational decision making. That's what being in love is, and you know that's what ignorance is. And what I'll say all the time is thank God for intellect and insight, and thank God for my gift of discernment, because I personally was looking for certain qualities and traits in a woman that I could even, because you got to understand, at that time I couldn't even possibly conceive of a woman being in my life long term. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you was one of them kind.
Right. I met my wife when I was 23 years old, 22 years old, and my life up to that point hadn't dictated that I would be in a relationship of any sort. You understand me? So when it became apparent that I was starting to feel like I might feel a certain kind of way, even then, thank God that I was able to say, but even if you do love her, you gotta work with what you got going on. It had to work with my understanding. It had to work with my motivation. There had to be common ground between us that said, between you and I, we can turn this into a positive. What we didn't understand was that the building of that would be so extensive and so stressful.
Look, you got two individuals with two individual mindsets, thought processes.
Right.
That's never going to be easy to conjoin, no matter what the circumstances.
I
hear it's beautiful for some people.
No, I think the first thing I understood, because, you know, and this is why they say, you know, won't he do it? Because God showed me some things early that I knew were positive. And even though I didn't know there was positives in me, he showed her some positives within me.
I don't know what he showed her.
Right. And I didn't see the show, right? I wasn't doing radio then, trust
not
me.
Not ready.
And it wasn't no Facebook. So imagine that shit I did on the average day and got away with. So I'm just saying that I'm not even bragging. Like, I don't want people to hear this and think, because, you know, there's no Cliff and
you
Claire.
You should, though. You're supposed to brag on
there's
the
no,
woman.
But there's no Cliff and Claire scenario. There's the reality of two individuals who, via the blessings of God, have managed to navigate life. And at the end of the day, that's what you should appreciate. And I don't have a magic wand. I don't have any kind of theory that could help somebody else, because I'm barely holding on for myself. I just, like I said, as a young man, I was blessed enough to know kind of what I wanted. I didn't totally get it, but I knew I kind of needed this.
But sometimes the key is, you may not know what you want, but you know it when you see it.
Well, it's that want versus need again. And even, I can say, even at 22, 21, 20, I was able to balance out what I wanted versus what I needed. Because I learned early, what I want ain't what I need. Because I want a lot of other, a little razzle-dazzle, right? Right? And you know me.
I'm not even getting into it with you.
Right. But we ain't going to talk about that. You know, ain't no indictment yet. Mm-mm. So look here, man. Shout out to Bear Meat, man. We want to close this out. I had hoped to have this conversation with a few more people. I ain't going to lie. I really didn't feel the love tonight, so I'm cutting it off early. If we're going to talk about financial empowerment, we're going to talk about Dr. Claude Anderson, and we're going to talk about what we really need to do to fix ourselves. I don't want to have a conversation with three or four people. I want to have it with a bunch of people. But we'll come back to this. We'll get down to that.
Revisit it another day.
Life is like a camera. Focus on what's important. Capture the good times. Develop from the negatives. And if things still don't work out, take another shot. You got to say what?
Man, I feel blessed, man. I'm in a good space. I got good kids, man. I got good people around me, man. I'm feeling the love. It ain't nothing but God, man. I'm telling you, I feel really blessed, man. I'm proud of that. And my kids aren't who they are because of who I am. It's despite of who I am. Because they've surpassed me already.
Saturday night, man. We'll get into it. Chocolate City. It's a thing going on, man. Y'all got to get used to the fact that Chocolate City is actually a thing. We'll see y'all then. Don't plan to fail and don't fail to plan. Saturday night. Same bad time, same bad channel. Don't meet me there. Feed me there. I'll holla.